What's up, everybody? This is Locked On Eagles. Welcome in, everybody. Close that door behind you and lock it. Let's get locked into the Philadelphia Eagles on this Tuesday edition of the show. We are continuing to take a look back at the Eagles' 24-20 heartbreaking loss in Atlanta to the Falcons on Sunday Night Football. This is going to be one of those weeks, you know, growing up as an Eagles fan diehard, before I really got into the media portion of football, getting into a loss like this, thinking about it, dwelling on it, would last all week, and you really didn't truly feel better until the Eagles hit the field once again on Sunday, Thursday, Monday, whenever they would play, hoping that a win would reset your mood. You know, that's just, I don't know, for me, that was the way I was wired, and a game like Sunday night against Atlanta would have had me bugging for days, and it really still does. I mean, it's hard to completely remove that, but now it's time to get into the evaluation part and really figure out why that happened on Sunday night, get into who struggled, get into also, though, some positives as well, like we did yesterday on the recap show, me and Gino Camilleri. So if you missed that, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, four to basically six podcasts at this point on the podcast provider of your choice or on LockedOnEagles.com. But today, what we are going to get into is one of our flagship segments of Locked On Eagles, and it's Stock Up, Stock Down, Week 2 edition. Get into who shined and who faltered against the Falcons as the Eagles fall to 1-1. So that's coming up on today's edition of the show. So stay patient. We'll get into some player evaluation for sure. But here on segment one, the lead story brought to you by Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon, by the way, better than anything you're wearing right now. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. For our lead story today, we have to get into some injury news. Got to get into some updates here in the health department, and it lies with some further detail on wide receiver DeSean Jackson, who we really didn't have a whole lot of details on when it came to the timetable, the severity of his injury the past 2 days, as we knew he had a groin injury, and that was really it. Well, turns out he has an abdominal strain that's going to keep him out at least 2 weeks, and it sounds like 2 weeks is the timetable. While it's at least 2 weeks, it sounds like, hearing around the league, that DeSean Jackson will probably be back for that New York Jets game. So he's going to miss the Detroit Lions on Sunday. Then you would imagine he's not going to play on Thursday night against the Green Bay Packers, which is a really big loss. That's going to be a really tough opponent for the Eagles on the road, one of the hardest places to play in all of sports, really. After that, it looks like DeSean Jackson should be back. So an abdominal strain for Jackson. An interesting report, though. Somebody suggested to DeSean that he should get surgery and that that would keep him out for 6 weeks. So that kind of makes me think surgery, abdominal, the original injury was apparently a groin. Is this a sports hernia? And that's something that, while it can heal on its own, I mean, I'm no doctor, so I'm not going to get deep into the medical side of this. If you don't have surgery, I feel like that's something that could linger throughout the season. And that's the concerning part. 2 weeks, that timetable, not too bad. I mean, they're going to be without DeSean and Alshon Jeffrey and likely Dallas Goedert, who the Pro Football Doc says he doesn't think Goddard will play week three, so not having those guys is tough, especially going up against Detroit, who just is coming off a big win against the Los Angeles Chargers this last Sunday. But at the same time, I do think J.J. Arcega-Whiteside should be much better this week with a week of practice under his belt and as part of the game plan. He was clearly not ready. He was not part of the script whatsoever. Him and Carson Wentz were not on the same page. I think a full week of practice with him, Mac Hollins, I think that will provide a better product, a more consistent product for Carson Wentz when it comes to his weapons. So the two-week timetable for DeSean and potentially for Alshon Jeffrey as well isn't terrible. I think the Eagles have gotten out of this Atlanta game pretty lucky when it comes to the severity of their injuries. Only Timmy Jernigan sounds like he's going to miss a significant amount of time. Corey Clement also out 1 to 2 weeks. But at the same time, it's this hernia thing that I keep thinking about that is concerning, because if he does come back in 2 weeks, is DeSean Jackson going to be at 100%? He is a huge, huge piece to the success of this offense, and you could see that week one against Washington, and you could see how the team struggled without having that element on the field. And of course, part of it too was not having Jeffrey or Goddard as well, but hopefully that when he does come back in a week or two or three, that this isn't something where he's extremely limited throughout the year where you're going to see him come in and out of the lineup. I really hope that he can heal from this without having surgery, because in the report, someone did suggest to Deshaun that he should get this surgery that would keep him out for 6 weeks. But 2 weeks isn't bad at all. I'm excited to see Arcega Whiteside step up to this opportunity. They took him in the second round for a reason. They took him over guys like DK Metcalf, who right now are having great starts to their career with the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, DK Metcalf's a guy I really wish the Eagles had at their disposal right now, but instead they preferred Arcega Whiteside, and yes, he did struggle against the Falcons. Let's see now with a full week of him being part of the game plan on offense if he can take that next step and show that he can provide that big body target in the red zone and down the field, much like Alshon Jeffrey has been for the Eagles. So, and look, I think the offensive line's going to be better. The run game, I hope you can rely on more than you did against the Atlanta Falcons at home. Normally, they can run the football better there. They can do most things better at Lincoln Financial Field. So, yep, 2 weeks for DeSean Jackson, 2 weeks seemingly for Alshon Jeffrey as well. So prepare for a Week 3 Indianapolis Colts-like game last year where, remember, Alshon Jeffrey was out and Mike Wallace, so they only had Jordan Matthews and Nelson Aguilar. They were using a lot of 13 personnel. Expect a similar type of game where the Eagles are going to need Carson Wentz, the run game, and the defense to produce here, and the offensive line, as they will be without two of their best players on the offensive side of the football. All right, that is your injury update for the day here on Locked On Eagles. Coming up next, it's time for Stock Up, Stock Down, our second straight week of doing this. We'll do it every Tuesday throughout the 2019 season. We're going to start with the positives here. We'll get you feeling right before we end it on a bad note right here on Locked On Eagles. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And guys, we are sponsored today by MyBookie. At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. Game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else quite like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and mybookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play, and it's where you should too. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet on football this year, bet with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use our special promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. We thank MyBookie for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, Eagles fans across the globe, we are getting back into this Eagles 24-20 loss on Sunday Night Football to the Atlanta Falcons, and I'm sure you're ready to move on and look towards Detroit. So make sure you tune in on Wednesday. It's the crossover edition of the podcast. I will be joined by Locked On Lions to take a first look at this Week 3 battle between the 1-0-1 Detroit Lions and the 1-1 Philadelphia Eagles. But first, we have one more day here to kind of wrap up Falcons weekend. We're doing it here with Stock Up, Stock Down. Let's start here with Stock Up. I got three players that I was extremely impressed with on Sunday night. I was very encouraged with. There are three key reasons the Eagles were in this football game all the way until the very end. And being that as it may, saying that, how can I not start with number 11, Carson Wentz? People who doubted his ability in big, intense moments, playoff-like atmospheres, should be really encouraged after Sunday night, right? The people that were enamored with Nick Foles, that were in love with Nick Foles. I mean, if you're an Eagles fan, it was hard not to fall in love with the magical ride that he took this Eagles team on for two straight years. And there were a lot of questions when the Eagles get back into that situation. Can Carson Wentz emulate what Foles did? I think, although it was a Week 2 game, what Carson Wentz did on the road in that intense, and that was the most intense atmosphere you can find for a Week 2 game. Carson Wentz took the beating of his life on the road, primetime football, and it was pretty baller what he was able to do, how he was able to keep that Eagles team in that football game. He made some incredible plays despite new weapons thrown into the fire that were clearly not on the same page as him and the playbook, a struggling offensive line, and once again getting battered around by the defense, and yet Carson Wentz ran a touchdown in with just 3 minutes left to take a 20-17 lead. This game seemed out of hand from the start because of all the injuries. I was prepared for a loss from really the jump until that final 3 minutes where you started to see Carson Wentz just take the game over, put the team on his back and say, all right, what's going to happen now is going to be because of me. We may lose this football game, but damn it, I'm going to go down swinging. And I was over the moon with Carson Wentz's performance. Yes, they need to start faster, and we will get into that throughout the week. But the way he finished, the way he kept this Eagles team in that football game, and again, one of the most stressful, chaotic situations you can find yourself in on primetime football on the road against a motivated team that so badly wanted to prove that the week one embarrassment in Minnesota was the outlier, and that the last 2 years of the Eagles beating them in close finishes in big stages, primetime games in the playoffs and in week one of the NFL season, that they could avenge those. So I was over the moon by Carson Wentz, and I think his stock is certainly up after his week two performance. By the way, with Wentz, continued to be dominant on third down. Eagles are the second best third down offense right now in the NFL. On that fourth quarter drive to take the lead, just listen to this with Wentz. 8-for-8, 72 yards, 3-for-3 on third down, knee throw, right? Throws it in a third down conversion. Barely enough space between his knee and the field to get that football off, and he made it just a jaw-dropping play, ran in the game-leading score, and then threw a two-point conversion. Carson Wentz, just unbelievable performance down the stretch. Number two here on Stock Up, we head to the defensive side of the football, and that's cornerback Sidney Jones. Easily the best game of his career. That Sidney Jones is the Sidney Jones that a lot of teams would have taken top 10, maybe even over Marshon Lattimore, right, who the Saints took really early in the 2017 NFL draft. The Saints could right now be playing with Sidney Jones if he does not tear his Achilles at the pro day. His tackling, Jim Schwartz said it in his press conference today, was incredible. He had 6 tackles total, ripping through blocks, significant power on his hits, right? The best hit of the day from Sidney Jones was the play where he actually got taken to the sidelines and put in the blue medical tent because he lowers the shoulder on Austin Hooper and just thumps him. I mean, Sidney Jones, he had actual legitimate power on his hits. He was taking great angles, leg wrap-ups. I mean, the leg tackles were so impressive, the way he was able to pull those off and get guys to the ground. He found a way to be in the right position to make that interception, right? We've been waiting for those kind of plays by Sidney Jones. He has definitely flashed the past 2 years when it comes to his tackling ability, but you haven't really seen the plays on the ball quite yet, and you were able to see him show great focus, bringing that ball in with one hand after Rodney McLeod hit Calvin Ridley to get him the ball, sprung up in the air. And I thought he was really good in coverage too when he was given the opportunity to actually play man. If you want, go to the All-22 on NFL Game Rewind. I thought Sidney Jones had some great reps against Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Mohamed Sanu, a very good Falcons offense, and Sidney Jones stepped up to the plate. He was one of the best players on the field between both teams. He came ready to play, much like Wentz. He was ready to throw haymakers in what was an absolute brawl in the streets between the Eagles and the Falcons. So Sidney Jones, your stock is up, good sir. Our final stock up here is safety Rodney McLeod, who I just mentioned. He was flying around the football on Sunday night. I mentioned the Sidney Jones interception. Rodney McLeod came screaming into Ridley, just drilled him and popped that ball straight up into the air. And while Sidney Jones, like, everything's moving so quick, so hats off to Sidney Jones for finding and locating that ball and bringing it in. Most of that play was made by Rodney McLeod. He soared from the deep center on another play of the deep center of the field and leaped into Julio Jones, breaking up the ball as it got to Jones in the catching point. He was so entertaining to watch. He really truly showed his value. When they let McLeod play over the top of Jones or Rasul Douglas, you could see how much more those two corners improved. They succeeded being allowed to play up and aggressive, knowing that they had McLeod behind them. A lot of that scenario I just described were the instances of Rasul Douglas making plays on the football against Julio Jones, and the same thing with Sidney Jones. Rodney McLeod is so underappreciated in this defense. He is really one of the backbones of Jim Schwartz's scheme and making it work the way it should and it can. And you saw the drop-off last year when they lost him week three to a torn MCL against the Indianapolis Colts. So Ronnie McLeod looks back. He looks healthier than ever, and he was flying around the football. I was very impressed with the veteran safety's performance on Sunday night. So there are your three stock ups for week two: Carson Wentz, Sidney Jones, and Ronnie McLeod. We got three stock downs coming up right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And guys, we are sponsored today by Vivid Seats. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person, for me that's the 1975, or being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team, which of course is the Philadelphia Eagles. With the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can attend the concert or show or game of your choice and earn credits towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter our special promo code KICKOFF, that's again KICKOFF, at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. We thank Vivid Seats for sponsoring Locked On Eagles today. All right, everybody, it's time for the sadder part of today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Stock up, stock down. It's time for stock down. Who did not help the Eagles in this loss to the Atlanta Falcons? I think number one was pretty much the entire offensive line. The offensive line had seven total penalties. Five were accepted. They were not good in the run game. Pass protection really didn't get going until later on in the second half. Isaac Seumalo at left guard had the worst game of his career from a PFF grade standpoint. They were a huge reason for that slow start. You saw Carson Wentz really running for his life. Even in the second half, some of the biggest plays Wentz made was him finding a way to escape multiple Falcon defensive linemen who got into the backfield really quickly. And Wentz was able to find a way to escape that and make plays with his legs and his arm. So the offensive line, I mean, that's a thing too. Everybody talks about how do we fix these fast or slow starts more so. And it's something always different. A lot of the time last year what it was the offensive line starting off slow. And I thought that was the case here against Atlanta, and I don't think that's going to be something that lasts very long. To me, the Eagles have the best offensive line in football, and they showed that week one against the Washington Redskins, but they definitely were a liability, I would say, for a large portion of this game in the first half that really made you kind of think. I mean, to a point where Carson Wentz took some huge hits that he was sidelined for and had to go through concussion protocol. Remember, Josh McCown ended up playing a lot down the stretch in that second quarter on that final drive before Wentz came back. So I thought the offensive line, their stock definitely took a hit on Sunday Night Football. Another one here for you, and it's not shocking when you listen to Locked On Eagles that I'm about to say Ronald Darby's stock is down. Literally almost every big play the Atlanta Falcons were able to make, I thought it was on Ronald Darby. He was once again a liability as a tackler. He missed at least three or four tackles that Sidney Jones was making, that Rasul Douglas was making, that Avante Maddox or Malcolm Jenkins was making. He allowed two touchdowns, one to Julio Jones in the red zone, one to Calvin Ridley down the field. On that drive where Ridley had a deep touchdown, he got burned badly by Justin Hardy and Calvin Ridley, so he should have allowed a touchdown on three different occasions on that drive, and he finally did allow one. Darby was terrible, and he wasn't great against Washington. I think Darby can be a good player. I think he's a very up and down player. He's young, he's fast. That was a great interception on that all-out blitz where he was able to track that ball and, you know, go toe-to-toe with Julio Jones on the right sideline. He makes splash plays, but the benefit of the doubt he's gotten, the leash that Jim Schwartz has given him, is just so unjustified considering the promise that guys like Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones have showed over the past couple years. And, you know, he just, once again, I thought the Falcons really went after him on Sunday night, and they had a lot of success with that. And Jim Schwartz did not pull him out of the game almost ever outside of really the last final plays. I mean, Jones was in on that 4th-and-3 where they targeted Rasul Douglas and that cover zero with the Julio Jones screen. But for the most part, Ronald Darby has avoided this cornerback rotation that Schwartz is using right now on the left side, or the right side, excuse me, with Douglas and Jones. And I just don't think it's right that he gets this unquestioned role. I think his stock is down, and I thought he was one of the worst players on Sunday night for sure. We'll see if he can bounce back, but he's been very up and down for 2 weeks straight now, and really for 2 years straight now with the Eagles. And I can even make the argument he's been up and down pretty much his entire career. It was the same with Buffalo. I work up in Buffalo for sports radio, and he had a great rookie year, and then his second year was very shaky, as his tenure with the Eagles has been. So Ronald Darby, your stock is down. I don't want to dwell on it too much because I feel like I've been kind of really getting on Darby for a while now. It's frustrating when you see the plays that people are making on him, and Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas both are sharing time on the sideline. So I think it's pretty frustrating. Another guy whose stock is down, another player after Sunday night in Atlanta, is running back Miles Sanders. I thought he was really pressing on Sunday night. I thought, again, the line was struggling to open things up. Instead of taking the few yards, right, a 2-3 yard run, he was bouncing almost everything outside. And look, I love his ability to make more out of runs. It's why I could not stand Wendell Smallwood. Because if there was a 3 yard hole, he would take that 3 yards and nothing more. That's the way it was ending. With Miles Sanders, that run could be a 20 yard run, a 30 yard run at any moment, right? His cut ability, his vision, his explosiveness, his patience, his ability to not just settle and make more out of what the offensive line is giving him, especially in zone run concepts. Like Wentz in scrambling, I'm not going to ask him to stop that. I think that's part of what makes Miles Sanders great. It's part of what makes him a second-round worthy player. You just got to pick your spots better. I thought that was the key against Atlanta, was when he decided to bounce things around, it just wasn't the right call. I mean, don't cut it outside when you got two or three guys waiting for you on the perimeter. You're not going to beat two or three guys to the sidelines. I mean, Miles Sanders is explosive. He's not 4-3 speed. So it's really just picking your spots better. And it's his second game as a rookie. So for the overreaction theater I've been seeing on Twitter, you know, ease up on Miles Sanders. I thought Jordan Howard was equally as bad. And, you know, he was taking what the defense was giving him. But once again, those were only 3 yard runs. So eventually I do respect the hell out of Miles Sanders saying, I'm going to try to make more out of this because the offensive line's not giving me much. But the decision-making was definitely shaky for sure against Atlanta. That might be an understatement. Doug Peterson even mentioned it in his press conference. I mean, they're still very confident in him, and they should be. You know, you look at a few runs against Washington and against Atlanta. Even at Atlanta, he showed that he can be good with his decision-making, but he definitely struggled for sure to stay consistent with that. Sometimes if it's a 3rd and 2, you just got to get those tough yards. But at the same time, you know, and often if you make one cut and it's a good one and you grabbed a couple more yards, maybe sometimes just get your head down and grab a couple more yards than trying to bounce it again and maybe lose some yards. So it's really just the decision making, and it'll come with Miles Sanders the more and more reps he gets. And I'm very encouraged. I did not expect the Eagles to feature him in the workhorse type way that they have for the first 2 weeks of the season. And I think he's going to reward them for that very soon. I thought he had the numbers say that he had a bad first 2 weeks. I thought Miles Sanders was great against Washington, so I'm not overly concerned, but his stock is definitely down after his performance in Atlanta. I'm leaving Nelson Agholor off the list. I know he dropped the football that would have ended up winning the game for the Eagles. There was two other drops in the first half where they were tough throws for sure, but in one of them in the end zone, but they were definitely catchable balls that Nelson Agholor has struggled to make Wentz look good with those throughout his career in Philadelphia. At the same time, I mean, that 4th and 14 catch he was able to make to almost give the Eagles the win after the drop. Normally, after that drop, there's a lot of players Nelson Agholor's age, with his history of drops, that would have crumbled mentally and would not have been able to shake that off a couple plays later and make that 4th and 14 catch to save the Eagles a chance at the game. A lot of other players would not have been able to do that. That shows his resolve. That shows how far he has grown from that disastrous 2015 and 2016 season, the first 2 years of his career. He has matured and learned from that so much that he's so disciplined that he was able to make that 4th and 14. He made some other really great catches too. He scored the touchdown to pull the Eagles within one score. He made another play on third down where Wentz threw it far and high on his outside shoulder on a third down play. Aguilar leaped up into the air, full extension, and brought down a hell of a hands catch. So, look, Nelson Aguilar, there were more plays left on the field, like he said. One of them would have been the game winner that's going to we're going to keep looking back all year at, much like the Titans game last year, right? That fourth and 19, something we kept looking back at all year. That's going to be the same thing with Aguilar here. But at the same time, much like Alshon Jeffrey and his drop against the Saints last year, I have all the confidence in the world that Aguilar is going to bounce back and be better from this. It's just that's the type of player he is. That's the type of mentality he has now that I fully expect Aguilar to come up big for the Eagles this week against the Detroit Lions. So you could make the argument his stock should be down for sure. I mean, he was one of the big reasons the Eagles did not win this football game. But one of the main reasons they were in this football game to begin with, was that Carson Wentz could rely on Aguilar to make plays. So I'm going to break even with Aguilar here and leave him off the list. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Stock up, stock down. Stock up, stock down. We'll be back next Tuesday recapping the Detroit Lions loss, hopefully, to the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to kick off Detroit coverage against the Eagles this Sunday at 1 o'clock tomorrow on Crossover Wednesday with Locked On Lions. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast to get 4 to 6 shows a week into your phone, or we're available on LockedOnEagles.com, and the conversation always continues on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, and you can follow me at DiBiaseLOE. All right, I'm out of here. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds!